Welcome to another episode of Thoughts of a Trillionaire, the bestest podcast in the verse with the most beautifulest of ideas.
That's not what I'll go with that.
As always, there's a lot to talk about. Basically, a couple things in my mind. I'm gonna try to roll it into one narrative. Blockchain technology and the power of immutability. Listen to a podcast, as always, with Jason Calacanis talking to, I think it was, the CEO of Machine Zone. She was a great guest on that podcast. I learned a lot. But there's one part they were talking about where Jason was mentioning how he couldn't really see why immutability and blockchain technology would be a good thing in terms of all the different things that could go wrong in that case. And for those that don't know, immutability is the fact that with blockchain technology or with really any certain types of ledger technologies, immutability is like its ability to not be changed, right? So that you always have like a history, you always have a basically a ledger of what is going on in a system or process or whatever the thing, you know, you're basing that on. I think that's it, at least. if I'm wrong, please correct me. But yeah, I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about, based on the conversation I had with my friend Kerry about, all the problems with politics. The importance of voting on the local level, the problem of transportation, mass transportation, and how other people's ignorance really destroys the organization or the system, the civilization that you're in. You know, in Georgia we have a terrible mass transit system, and there's the main reason is simply because people are ignorant and stupid and annoying and xenophobic. So that limits our economic growth, our ease of quality of life, and all that stuff. While in Japan, they have some of the best, or probably the best, mass transit systems in the world, and they can do all sorts of things there. So, yeah, another part I want to talk about. And then I also want to discuss a little bit about ideas I always talk about ideas for Flubby, so I have to talk about that. I guess I really just, you know, go on the immutability side and the politics thing with mass transit, because I believe they're related, right? So, let me make a segment here. So, on the topic of immutability, I think blockchain technology that has this ability is very powerful and very important, and in subjects or in areas where it is extremely important to have a history of what is going on in that system, or to have it's kind of like version control, right? That's one good way of looking at it. When you're writing a program or any sort of technology, you want to have a documentation of what happened, what you're changing, or what you did change, and the progress of creating that project. You know, version control is a very important part of developing software, developing programs, and stuff like that. Because you always will need to have points in which you can roll back to just in case something wrong happens. Or even if you really are sure that, you know, the new version is way better than the old version, you don't want to ever erase the old version, because you want to be able to look back at the old one and say, hey, this is where we went wrong. You want to be able to point out the problems that you had before, or even pick out solutions that might be better served in your new version. So that's one case where immutability is off the bat, you know, really good, because I don't think that there's ever really going to be a case where you're going to want to like change or like re-edit, you know, older versions, because that doesn't really make sense in the kind of application of version control of building a program. You're always going to be based on what you did before, and you're always going to want to refer back to that. And even if you just like going backwards and saying, hey, we're going to go back to this old branch. Blockchain doesn't disallow you from doing that just because it's immutable. You can always, you know, go back and copy that, because it's the age of technology. You can just copy that and then form a new branch off from that aspect. And the fact that the other branch that you maybe realize it was a dead end, you know, the original branch that you was on, that part should still be in history too, because you're going to want to refer back to that to see why it went wrong, what went wrong in it, and show other people what you've done before, right? So I think in that case, off the bat, that's already one where immutability is very important. And that if you look at that case and expand it out into other kind of industries or other types of use cases, you can quickly find other ones too. In my case, which I kind of talked about with Flubby, is the idea of creativity. When you have of giving people their due, you know, for things they create. I guess you can call it IP, but I kind of view IP in a different format as it is today, or at least the what you do with IP, right? I don't want to make another patent system that's like YouTube, where people can just say, oh, you use my thing, boom, you can't make any money off of this. No, that's not the point. The point of IP in a free market, I think, is to show the value that you've created, right? And to be able to always assign value to what somebody has created, right? So when you create something, you should get compensated for that, or you should get some type of reward, or recognition, some type of recognition for what you created, right? No matter what. So you're going to want to always have that recognition for your creation. So say, for instance, you invent some new toy, whatever, right? And somebody else remixes it. And if they don't give you that recognition right now, because people have to like give you that recognition, there's no automatic system to determine whether or not somebody has like taken your stuff and remixed it. It's like up to the judge of panels, up to this, that, and the other, up to like the patent filing system, and it's just a mess, because there's a lot of points in which people can corrupt the system, because a lot of it is up to kind of like paper trails or even no trails, just judgment. And sorry to say, but human judgment isn't that great. You know, it's heavily biased by a number of things. And so if you can have like a system that's more like a version control or a blockchain, an immutable blockchain that shows, hey, this person created this thing at this time, right? And then this person copied that thing at this time. It's vastly increase the amount of recognition you have for your creation, as well as decrease the amount of corruption you have, and by leaving it up to judgment or leaving it up to, you know, some patent trolls, right? And the reason why I specify patent trolls too is because you won't be able to just say, hey, I created the idea for this. No, it's looking at if you actually created the thing. And yes, there could also be a blockchain that respects people's ideas, that say, hey, I had this idea where this, that, and the other was being created. I definitely think it's not mutually exclusive, right? You can have a patent system or some type of system where it recognizes people's ideas, people's implementation of the ideas, people's execution, you know, this, that, and the other, so that everybody's recognized for the work they're putting into the system. And then another side to that too is the importance of actually thinking about it from a open and free market standpoint, not from a closed, you know, blocking standpoint, where like right now the biggest problem with patents right now is that you file a patent or patent pending or whatever, a copyright, you file one of these things, and then you can suddenly like disallow other people from being able to create their own thing. Like if somebody else creates something And even if it's, I mean, it's obvious if it's remixed off of yours, but even if somebody creates a thing independently, right? Even if they create it independently, if it happens to resemble yours, you can technically, you know, take them to court for that. You could technically sue them for that, or just block them from forming their own patents because it's too close to your idea. And the main reason that why that is not really a case of justice or a case of protecting your own intellectual property. It's simply because there in the system there's no real way to show the records that says, hey, this person is independent from this person. Their ideas are independently created. There's no real way to do that in the current system. It's getting a little bit better with the internet. You can say, hey, this is, it was submitted at this time versus this time. You have computer records of all this, so you can definitively say that. But the patent system is such a freaking mess right now. So if you have a blockchain system where it looks at the day you created an idea, granted, it's going to have to be on the system that you created it, but still, you know, it can look at the day you created it, and you can even connect it to the entire creation system. So if this is all in one system, like, for instance, I want to use Flubby, but, like, say a system that everybody is familiar with, YouTube, right? Say you create a video on YouTube with certain new ideas, and somebody else creates a video on YouTube. You can, if it's on the same platform, you can say, hey, this person looked at their video and then created their idea. So they're inspired by them, right? And so you can trace that, those interactions to definitively say, you know, who was inspired by what. And this is the most important part, though. The most important part is not to use this as a system to stop people, to create a close or like blockage-based system, to create a defending or even an offensive system. The point here is to maintain an open free marketplace, meaning even if somebody else creates something based off of your idea, you still allow them to do it, or they can still do it. You have no power in stopping them from creating their idea. What you have now is the ability to gain currency, to gain money from the idea, right? So if they completely copy your idea 100%, then you get maybe 100% of the proceeds, or at least 90% of the proceeds from whatever they do. And if you get, if they remix it, and it's only like they it's only like what 50%, like they remix it 50%, like it's like 50% different than your idea, then you get 50% of the proceeds. Granted, there's going to be some nuance in how you create that equation of how much of the IP was remixed or changed, but I think that can definitely be done. You know, we kind of do it already. Like I used to play a game called Project Spark. This is a really interesting project that Microsoft had. I believe it was Microsoft, where you could create like your own game type of environment and stuff like this. And it was based on heavily based on, you know, inspiration. Like you take somebody else's idea that somebody, like some other world or some other game that somebody else created on that platform, and then you take it and remix it, and the game scored you based on how original your idea is. So even if you took somebody else's idea, the game could track how much you were adding to or taking away or modifying that game to give you a final score that says, hey, you remixed this, like, you know, this percentage, right? So that's why I know this is definitely possible to do. So it's not like it's pie in the sky, crazy, you know, thing to do. This is definitely possible. The importance is applying it. Now, of course, another important part of IP and copyrights and all this stuff is also maintaining the integrity of a product. So sometimes you wouldn't really want somebody to use your product or idea or song or whatever for a negative thing that you don't agree with, right? In an immutable system, you can also indicate this. So if you say, hey, I wanted my project to be used for this thing, that will forever be in the notes of your project. So if somebody then, you know, uses it for wrongful intent, for malicious intent or whatever, you can refer back to your original notes and say, hey, yeah, this person didn't want it to be used like that. Because, oh, let me back up a second. Because, I mean, malicious intent is obvious, right? The biggest problem is when people remix something and they don't really have a clear idea of how they wanted it, how the original creator wanted it to be used or not to be used. And so other people who are now right holders or holders of the rights of the original creation can say, you know, oh, this person didn't want it to be used like that. But they don't really know. Like, nobody really knows what the original creator wanted a certain thing to be used for. And so that's how you get things that are bastardized, that are messed up, that are, you know, just corrupted and kind of abused to hammer down on copyright strikes and all this other stuff. And so if you can have a system where the original creator says, hey, I want this to be used for this, but not this, you know, then if that person ever passes, or, you know, enough time passes, or they don't pay attention to it anymore, there's always a note in the system, in the mutable blockchain, that points out what the original intent was and how much you have changed from that intent. Right? So that's why I think immutability is still very powerful and a very important aspect of blockchain technology, and very important aspect of something that that we need in our world, of an intellectual property. If we have this sort of system protecting IP, then I think it will be more, it will be an easier way to create a more positive system. I mean, granted, don't get me wrong, there's a big possibility that this can also be used for bad, that you can say, you know, if you can definitively say that this is this person's product and this person looked at their product and then made it, people, if it's a closed system, people can use it to block other people's, you know, things more efficiently. That's why it's important to create an open platform, to have multiple blockchain technologies, multiple, you know, ledger systems, multiple platforms. So people can go to whichever one they really like, and then you really have a good marketplace. Because I guarantee you, if you had a marketplace where people can protect their IPs without also blocking other people, then it would be a way better system. It would be a way healthier system. It would be a much more fun system. It would be a much more lucrative system. And because of that, that will attract more customers in the marketplace, in a fair marketplace at least, you know. So, yeah. That's another case. So another one, which relates to the other thing I wanted to talk about, was voting. I think voting is a great way to also show immutability in the marketplace, because if you can vote with the blockchain technology, then you won't have fake votes, you know. It'll be much easier to have a fair democracy, to even have a direct democracy if that's desired, you know, if you can definitively say this voter voted for this thing. And then furthermore, if you can have an immutable tax system, I think that will be amazing. That relates to another idea I had. I'm not sure if I mentioned in the podcast before, probably did, but the ability to have transparent taxes. I mean, in an ideal world, you wouldn't have taxes at all. You would just have incentives, and you would have a Patreon type of system where people, you know, can decide what they want to donate to and what they want to help towards and stuff like that. But it says we're not in that world. First, we have to live here, blah, blah, blah. So at least if you have a transparent system that shows you where your tax money is going to, that would be incredibly valuable. People would love that, because right now, you pay taxes, you don't know why. People say, oh yeah, it's for this, it's for you know, teachers and firefighters and this, that, and the other, but you don't really know. You can't definitively say that your tax dollars are going to your fire department and your community. You cannot say that. It's impossible. So if you had a transparent system that in an immutable blockchain, it will be powerful, because you can you can actually say, hey, you can actually trace your dollar going from out of your check, out of your account, into maybe this government official, into this community, or whatever. However the freaking system works. I have no idea how it works nowadays. I don't think anybody does. But if you can have a blockchain tax system that can show you where everybody's tax monies are going to, you can actually say whether or not these taxes, tax dollars are being used wisely. You can actually say if this community is actually, if their tax dollars are being used locally. Because I have a feeling that a lot of places, their tax dollars are being funneled out of the system into another community. And I have a very strong feeling that in a lot of places where they have poor schoolings and poor, you know, government programs, that is not only because the possibility that their taxes are not being used wisely, but also because people do not understand how their tax system works, and so they don't really try to contribute to it. There's a lot of communities where the people could technically afford to have a much better schooling system, much better this, that, and the other, but a lot of people are either not paying taxes or trying to find ways to not pay taxes, or spending their money in different communities, or this, that, and the other. There's a number of reasons why that happens, and most of it stems from lack of communication, lack of transparency. So if you can have a system where you can say, hey, this, my vote is going to this, my dollar is going to this, then you will have a much better system. Simple as that. And granted, of course, it's always going to be hard to create, but it's better to create something like that than just puttering along as we are now. Because this is a mess, folks. Now, I still want to go on and talk about, you know, mass transit specifically, but dang, I kind of started late today, so I'm out of time. Got to go. But yeah, I hope whoever's listening to this can tell me more examples of where and how an immutable blockchain or, you know, this type of technology can be used positively, and even what are the risks. Maybe I'm overlooking something. Maybe the something I mentioned was wrong. Maybe one of these ideas are really not a good implementation of immutability. Maybe I'm just ignorant of it, but I don't think so. So feel free to challenge me on it, and thank you. Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.